Good Erev Shabbos. This is Rabbi Kovacs, and Mishnah Yomi is in chapter 4 of Nedarim, Mishnah Bet. Now, yesterday we started chapter 4 talking about the difference between a man who made a vow of no machal, no food-related benefit, versus a vow of hana, of any benefit whatsoever. And as vital as sharing food and eating together is for the Jewish people and our continued survival, the vow of hana is a bit more inclusive. There are more restrictions on someone who takes such a vow. But Mishnah Bet is going to tell us there are some actual exceptions. Hamuder hana mechavero. One took a vow against enjoying at all from his fellow. Shokel et shiklo. The other guy can still pay his shekel. Now this refers to the half shekel annual payment that every Jew was required to contribute to the temple to take part in the, to own a part in the communal offerings, as we discussed in Masechet Shekalim. And it's not considered a financial benefit that benefits the other person directly. It's just paying off an existing obligation. Opreyat chovo, he could even pay off his loan, the Mishnah adds. Paying off a loan is not considered a direct benefit. It's considered something akin to chasing a lion away from someone's livestock. So halachically, legally, it's like avoiding a loss instead of giving a profit. Mishnah adds, umachzir lo et vedato, and he can return to him a lost object. There he's not getting a benefit, he's doing a mitzvah. The Torah has a mitzvah, a commandment to return lost objects. But the Mishnah qualifies this, makam shenot lin aleha schar, in a place where the recipient, the one who lost something and is now getting it returned, he gives a wage, he gives some sort of payments for the time and effort involved, tipol hana lehekdesh. So that benefit, that payment, he would have to donate to hekdesh, to the temple, to the local shul, Beit Knesset. Now Mishnah Gimel continues the exceptions. V'torim et trumato, he can torim the truma, means to separate out the truma, that's that first 2% of the crop that would go to the Kohen, u'me'asrutav, and the miser, ledato, if he knows about it. Now here we're dealing where the owner of the crops has made a vow that the other guy, he's not going to get any benefit from the other guy. The other guy can still separate his tithes. That's not really considered a benefit. However, the Bartonura points out something really interesting. He explains, based on the Gemara, that we're dealing with a case where the owner of the crops just said, whoever wants to come and take the truma and the miser, can go ahead and do it. But if he had made the other guy a shaliach, an agent, specifically appointed him to separate them, then an agent performing his agency, doing his job, actually brings hana to the one who sent him. So in that case, of course, the netter would prohibit that activity. And that's an interesting aside. All of us, the Jewish people, when we're learning Torah, doing mitzvot, giving tzedakah, praying, we're doing a shlichut. Hashem appointed us to be his agents on this physical planet to bring kedusha, to bring holiness and spirituality into this world. So whenever we're doing a shlichut, we're acting as the agents and the messengers of Hashem, it's as if we could bring him some hana. If we could bring Hashem hana, that's the way to do it. Now the Mishnah goes on, O makriv alav, and he can sacrifice for him, meaning if the one who was banned from giving benefits is a Kohen and he's working at the temple, it's his week to work at the temple, and the Madir, the one who made the vow banning him, comes to the temple with offerings, he could bring them. Makriv alav, he can bring for him kinei zavim, pairs of birds that are brought for a zav, kinei zavot, or a zava, a female zav, kinei yoldot, or a woman who gave birth, brings a pair of birds. We're actually going to have a whole book, a whole masechta about that later, about kinim, about bird offerings. Hataot v'ashamot, if he has to bring a hatas or an asham, he could bring that also. So these are all examples. He could really bring any karbanot, even though the kohen, certain karbanot, the kohen gets to eat parts of or keep the hides of certain one of those offerings. The Mishnah goes on, melamdo medrash. He could even teach him medrash. Those are explanations of psukim, explanations of scripture. Halachot, as halacha, Jewish law, ve'agadot. Agada is sort of the moralistic teachings that you can find throughout the Gemara and the Mishnah. Avaloyim adenu mikra. But he shouldn't teach him the actual mikra, the actual psukim, the actual verses of the Torah. Now, this sounds a little inconsistent. Really, we should teach Torah for free. Now, the Gemara explains there's something called schar batala, that if somebody could have been an accountant, but now he's hired to be a rabbi, then you could actually, really, the rabbi should work for free, technically, but he has to eat, and he could have been an accountant, so you pay him at least what you would have paid the accountant for his, you know, loss of time, that he could have done that profession instead. However, for learning the verses, there's also the trope, the cantillation, the way it's sung and pronounced and where you start and stop. You understand that that was given down as a Masorah, as a tradition from Moses of how to actually read the words. So anyone could open up a Sefer Torah and read it. That's free. But to teach him how to sing it, how to chant it, that is a valuable skill that should be compensated for. So the guy's giving bar mitzvah lessons, preparing the bar mitzvah boy. Yes, you can charge for bar mitzvah lessons. Aval, but what he can do is melamed hu es banav, the benotav, mikra. He could teach his sons and daughters scripture. And here he's doing a mitzvah of teaching Torah to the next generation. There's a Gemara in Kedushin, Daf 30, that describes that teaching children and grandchildren Torah is like being at Har Sinai. It's that important. So he's doing something very important. And also there were a lot of opportunities for people to learn scripture for free. Apparently both boys and girls were learning scripture. So if you could get it for free, it wasn't a big deal for him to do it. The Mishnah adds, Vizonet ishto vet bonav. And he could even feed, you know, give money for food or food to his wife and children. Afal pishu chayiv ben zonoteim. Even though this man who has been banned from getting benefit from him really has to provide for his wife and children, as we explained in Ketuvot. Velo yazun et behemto, but he cannot feed the other guy's animal, bein tameya, bein tahora, whether it is a tame animal, a non-kosher, or tahora, or a kosher animal. Rabbi Elazar omer, Rabbi Elazar has a chiluk, zanet tameya. You could feed the not-kosher animal, eno zanet tahora, not the kosher ones. Amru lo, they said to Rabbi Elazar, Ma bein tamei la tahora. What's the difference? Lamaisa, you're feeding his animal at the end of the day. Amar lahan, Rabbi Elazar said, Shat tahora naf shala shemayim, the kosher animal, when you do shechita, when you slaughter the animal to eat it, the soul goes up to heaven. The gufa shalo, but the body is supper. Tameya, but a non-kosher animal, naf shava gufa la shemayim, it's useless to him. You can fatten up a non-kosher animal, he's not going to eat it at the end of the day. Amru lo, but the sages replied back to Rabbi Eliezer, Afa tameya, even not kosher animals, the mudur should not be able to feed. Nafshu l'shamayim v'gufa shalo. He does get some benefit from the body. Sheim yirtze, if he wants to, rehu mocher la'akam. He could sell it to non-Jews. They do eat that stuff. O machila l'klavim, or use it as dog food. So it'd still be forbidden to feed even his non-kosher animal because he's, reducing the cost he would have. Since we mentioned dog food, and feeding a non-kosher animal to dogs, that's certainly allowed. But we're, just a little bit, a month and change, before Pesach. And one of the issues on Pesach is dog food, pet food, cat food, has to basically be kosher le-Pesach. Because chametz, it's not just not kosher, but chametz is usur b'hana. You can't have any benefit from chametz, including feeding it to your animals. So you got to get the kosher le-Pesach pet food before Pesach. So just a heads up. Yashar Kuchachem, Shabbat Shalom, good Shabbos, be well.